welcome to Moms Connect. And for those of you who have not been here before, it's just a place to get to know other moms and be refreshed and get connected. So we're really excited about tonight and our hospitality panel. So nice. Just to introduce these awesome ladies who are here tonight, we're going to start with Jody, who's right over here. And her beautiful family is up on the slide. But Jody's, I think a lot of you know, she has an awesome blog called Even the Sparrow 843 at blogspot.com. And we are super excited to hear about her with party planning and hospitality. She and Rick have been married for 26 years, and as you can see, they have five kids ranging from 8 to 20. So she said that's two decades of planning birthday parties and other celebrations. So she's got a lot of experience with balloons and cakes and hospitality. So we are really excited to have her here, and I know her heart is to serve and to love others, so we're excited to hear from you.
Yes, and then Martha McIntosh here in the middle. And I'm blessed to know her personally, and I can say that she's as amazing of a mom as she is, an event planner and a florist. You can see her family here pictured, three kids, and you do, or what? The wedding picture has everybody in it, yes, her three beautiful children. Martha owns a boutique studio that specializes in event design, planning, and florals. So make sure you check out the site, marthamcintosh.com. Her background is deeply rooted in style, hospitality, food, and Southern entertaining, and her small-town upbringing in Mississippi. And her big-city adventures have given her a unique perspective and a mixture of classic and cutting edge. So she's going to bring a lot of fun tips and just fun in general to us tonight.
And then we have Susan Hart, who actually led one of my Bible studies years ago, so it's fun to have her back here. And she is the owner of H2 Occasions. It's an event planning company that does everything from corporate events, fundraisers, weddings, and even just intimate dinners. She has a passion for parties, design, and a specific gift for details. So I think you're going to be sharing some more on details for us. She's married to Ed and has two grown children, and Emily's here. There she is, and Adam. So we are so excited to have you guys here tonight. And so we're just going to have a panel and just kind of talk about some different topics.
Yes.
So Melissa, you start.
And so one of the things we talked about as we were planning tonight was really hoping everybody walks away with a more clearly defined understanding of the differences between hospitality and simply entertaining. Because there is a difference. So we're going to start off by asking each of these women if they would share with us their own definition of hospitality. So we'll start with you.
Okay. Emily, I have a first slide there. My definition, hospitality, making your guests feel like they're at home even if you wish they were. Okay. No, I'm kind of kidding. I saw that yesterday night. I had to share it with y'all. I thought it was hilarious because we know that there's some truth there buried in that funny haha. But the next slide is really the definition, even though there's a typo in there, and that makes me cringe because I was an English teacher for a long, long time. But the heart of hospitality, the heart of hospitality is creating space for someone to feel seen and heard and loved. It's about declaring your table a safe zone, a place of warmth and nourishment. And I stole that from Shauna Nyquist in her book, Bread and Wine, A Love Letter Around the Table, a book I would highly recommend. And I love her ideas there behind what hospitality truly is. She says that hospitality, when it's true, authentic hospitality, it's about people leaving your space or your place feeling better about themselves, not necessarily better about you, if that makes sense. Because, you know, in today's culture, ladies, let's face it, hospitality, you know, the whole stress level has gone up because we're kind of competitive as women, and we're a little, you know, that whole race of putting on the perfect whatever it is, that doesn't lend itself to true hospitality.
So, I think of hospitality in opening your home and all of that too, but to me, the more and I love to entertain. I love to fix up a party, and you know, it's almost like you have to calm me down a little. But I think it's a heart issue, really, and it's having a welcoming heart. And to me, you can you know, my kids at school, when somebody's new in school, that's hospitality too, a welcoming heart and making them feel welcome. And so it goes beyond just a party to me or a dinner. I think it's more of a whole, like I said, a heart issue.
I do have a slide too. Talks about hospitality versus entertaining. And very simply, hospitality versus entertaining, according to my definition, is focus. Who are you focused on? Are you focused on others? Or are you focused on yourself? Are you focused on making an impression with a perfect environment for imperfect people? Remember, people are imperfect too, so your environment doesn't have to be completely tucked up and ready to go at all times. Let's see, and then the other part is knowing your guests. Just the relationship piece of hospitality is just understanding who your guests are, knowing who they are, remembering conversations from the past. If you heard that they love, I have one family member that happens to love cashews. So every time that person comes to my house, there are cashews for him. I wonder who that could be. But so when he comes, I'll have him. So that's really, it's just a simple matter of focus to me, being outwardly focused, having others in mind more than yourself.
So. And kind of going off that question, our next question is, why do you think that hospitality is important? So y'all can, in any order, why do you think hospitality is important?
Do you want us all to answer that?
Yeah, okay. I'd like for you all to answer.
Okay, that. Okay. Well, I think hospitality is the heartbeat of God. I really do. I think I thought I was kind of covering most of this, so that's why I have a slide with lots of points. But I don't have to. I know that it's just scattered throughout the Bible. I mean, back in the Garden of Eden when God created Eve, Adam, he put Adam in the garden. And immediately he knew he needed a woman, right? I mean, he calls her a helpmate, but he knew there was no garden party bachelor thing going on for Adam without an Eve. And really, you see it like all throughout the Bible. There's just verse after verse where God, especially in the New Testament, talks to us about practicing hospitality. And I just really quick there, four C words that are handy to remember. It's a command. I know we kind of might shudder a little bit at being commanded to do something, but it truly is. He says in Romans 12:13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I mean, nowhere does he say it has to be perfect and pristine and polished, but he does tell us that we have to be eager and ready and willing. And that goes into the next part. It's about our character. And it's an overflow or an outflow of who we are, not just what we do, and kind of what our attitude is. And I love in 1 Peter, Peter says, above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, practice hospitality ungrudgingly toward one another. So, you know, Peter even knew that our nature would kind of work in opposition to hospitality. If what we've just described hospitality being, you know, focused on others and external, that kind of works against what our human nature is to kind of self-absorb and to take care of ourselves, to take the path of least resistance. And then number three, it's continuous. I mean, you may have, you know, thrown a really fabulous dinner party on December 22nd, 1987, and you think you can, you know, check that box off and say, I did my hospitality duty. But really, it's just a continual spirit of, like what Martha and Susan have said about welcoming people in to your home, into your presence, to meet for coffee, to have a play date at the park. All of those things are hospitality. And it does say in Hebrews, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels. I love that. I love that. And then finally, fourthly, it's Christ-like. You know, when Jesus came and he died on the cross and That was like the ultimate act of hospitality, if you think about it. He came to invite sinners into his heavenly home. And so it took sacrifice, and it took surrender, and that dying to self. And I think there's a lot about hospitality that is about surrendering what we, who we are, and what we are bringing. I think in the New Testament, the words food and feed are mentioned over 60 times. And so much of that is mentioned in relationship with Jesus and his ministry. So he came for people, and he came with the mission strategy to gather with people, to gather together and, you know, dining with the diseased and feasting with the Pharisees and sitting at a table with the tax collectors. That was his strategy. And so I think if we're kind of modeling what we're supposed to be modeling him, we don't really have a choice, ladies, but to be a little bit hospitable, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And that pretty much was your question. Did you guys have anything else to add about that, or you good?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah, so as you're soaking up practical wisdom and spiritual wisdom, we also want to give you a chance to kind of process with the people at your table, because our hope tonight, too, is that you feel a sense of hospitality here and can walk away potentially with a new friend. So our first table talk for tonight, I don't know if we have them on the screen. We do not, no problem, so listen very carefully. A couple of questions. The first question is, how would you respond if Jesus himself invited himself over to your home? That's question number one, and I can repeat them again. And the second tier of that is, how do you respond in general if someone invites themselves over unannounced? Are you comfortable with that? Does it stress you out a little bit? So again, how would you respond if Jesus himself invited himself into your home? And then how do you respond in general when an uninvited guest shows up? So talk just for a couple minutes, and then we'll come back up here.
All right, so now we're going to ask everyone on our panel to share maybe their best or one of their worst failures or a funny hospitality story with
Make
everybody.
Us feel
so
good.
In any order, y'all can share your story.
So this is just funny on me, really. But I grew up in a big family, Jody, 5 kids, in Mississippi, little bitty town, Mount Olive, like 1,000 people. And so our house was always open. We always had food for whoever, and we always had extra people, you know. And if they needed to stay, it was fine. You know, just never even missed a beat. So that's kind of my background. And so the first funny story is that when Mark and I were dating, he would come to visit me. We went to two different colleges. And so when he would come to town, it would be in the newspaper, of course, that... And it was the full names. Mark Franklin McIntosh came to visit Martha Maud Stevens, you know, and all this stuff. Well, anyway. So
are you serious?
Uh-huh.
So funny.
So,
she's serious.
At his house, it's very orderly, and his dad tells a lot of stories, and we all sit in attention at the dinner table, and we say the blessing, and there's more stories, and it's great. I love it. Because my house, dinner's ready, and if you don't come... It's gone. So the first time Mark came to visit, he was very polite, where am I from? And waited, and there was nothing left. So the next time he came, my mother said, dinner's ready, and there's Mark. First in line, he has a pillow and a towel, and he's ready to eat. He's like, I'm going to have a pillow to sleep on, and I'm going to have a towel to bathe with. And he got his food. You know, he learned very quick.
That is funny.
So anyway, and then my dad was a highway contractor. So we would always go to the Mississippi Road Builders Convention on the Gulf Coast. And we knew the kids from the different, you know, businesses across the state. And so my sister and I, one year, we decided to invite them all to our hotel room, and we ordered orange sherbet for everybody on my dad's room service ticket. And we were just entertaining, being hospitable, and he didn't know about it till he got the bill, you know? So those are kind of my two funny stories. It's not really something, a failure, but...
No, that's great.
That's great.
Okay. Mine happened years ago when we had In fact, I can only now talk about it. This is one of the where humility and hospitality mixed in my world. We had four small children, probably at four under age eight, I would say. We used to live in Farmbrook off of Bice Road. We move a lot. But the ladies' committee of Farmbrook decided to host a holiday home tour, candlelight holiday home tour. And for some reason, they asked me to put our home on it. And, you know, I was flattered. I'm not going to lie to you. I was kind of flattered and was like, well, okay. We did not have the grandest home in the neighborhood or anything, but they probably just knew I said yes to a lot of things, and so they asked. My husband tried to dissuade me from that agreement, but I was pretty headstrong, and I saw, like, a free, you know, a license to all those extra little Christmas doodads that you've been wanting to pick up, but you can't convince your husband. I was like, well, honey, we're going to have, you know, hundreds of people coming through our home. They're paying ticket prices to do this, right? So it just gave me, again, permission to go kind of hog wild. So, and he was like, you know, we've got four little kids, and we're not going to be focused on Advent. We're going to be preparing our home, not our hearts. And he's speaking all this wisdom. And I was like, la, 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 hobby lobby, here I come. And so I just full bore ahead, went, you know, did go crazy, pulled out all the stops for, you know, 6-7 weeks. I was like decorating diva unleashed. So all those projects that we've been waiting to do, the touch of paint, you know, then chrismatizing every square inch because they were, you know, paying customers coming through on our candlelight tour. Well, the day came, and about, you know, I think I remember being up at 7 a.m. in my yard cutting down fresh greenery, you know, with wild abandon, and simmering up a pot of cloves and orange and cinnamon stick on my stove, and I was just in heaven. I was especially in heaven when my husband agreed to take the children and leave the home. I mean, they drove away about an hour before it began, and I was just absolutely delighted. Because you know, if you're a young mom and you've got a bunch of little kids, your home is never picture perfect, right? It is never looking like a magazine, anything. And so I literally was just, I can remember pouring punch and walking around my home, lighting candles, humming. You know, I mean, I was just like, you know, a dream come true. And it was for a short while. So the tour began, and people were coming in. I had punch and cookies and appetizers in the kitchen, and everything was just chrismatized, and it was just lovely. And I was receiving the compliments and just, you know, so prideful, so prideful, y'all. And so about an hour into it, I heard the rumble of our family SUV arrive home. And my husband stopped in front of the car and allowed the four children to run out of the car through the front yard and into the house. And it was okay, because at this point I was like, it's all going well. But shortly after all four of them came running through, there was this distinguished gentleman, older man, standing in my kitchen, and he kindly bent down to pick up a piece of brownie that was on the kitchen floor. And as he scraped it up with his hand and kind of came up, our eyes locked as we both caught scent of what he was actually holding. And apparently, my second born, my son Tyler, who's now safely in college, was a young guy, and he came running through the front yard, and he had collected quite a bit of dog poop on his shoes, ran through the house, up the back stairs, down the front stairs, I mean, just slaughtering the entire Christmas surface with dog waste. And this man held it out to me, and I mean, literally our eyes locked, and I was like, oh, no. I mean, so then the guests were helping me remove dog poop from my pristine Christmas house. And all the simmering cloves and freshly cut evergreen was trumped, completely trumped by the revolting smell of poop. And it was just a really great thing for me to go through early on in motherhood, because there really is no event that we can plan or a party that we can put on that doesn't have a little bit of dog poop somewhere in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I have a lot of failures. So many. I couldn't even come up with a short list. So I have a very long list, but I'll only share a few of them with you. When we first moved into our home, my husband and I were I didn't have children, and we were standing out in the yard, new neighborhood, great, everybody out there talking, having a wonderful time. Suddenly, my smoke alarm goes off, and I realize dinner's ready. From then on, everybody referred to my smoke alarm as being the timer on the stove. So that's been kind of fun through the years. The next one was my son, my now son-in-law, was visiting right before he and my daughter got married, and he came downstairs at Thanksgiving and said, "Is there only supposed to be one pumpkin pie? I think Millie ate the other one." Millie is our soft-coated Wheaton Terrier, and she's the center of a lot of our fails. So she did eat an entire pumpkin pie, which led to probably a story that is similar to what
it never
ends
well.
never ends well. Yeah, there's so many more I can go on and on, but those are just a couple for me.
Thanks. So by now we all know that you are naturally gifted with the gift of hospitality. But are there any specific people in your lives that have inspired you to be hospitable?
I would say definitely my mother and grandmothers. But so in this little town, we did everything from eating all the fresh vegetables. My grandmother would make just unbelievable amount of stuff for lunch. And the whole town would come, you know, to eat. But then my mom was from Memphis, which was, you know, the city. And we were farm to table way before it was the buzzword, you know, fresh asparagus and herbs and all this stuff. And she made quiche, and everybody in the town wanted to know, what is quiche? You know, that was a big deal. And one friend would go, "What kind of bark are y'all eating today?" You know, but it was all great. And any little party in town, somebody got married, that was at our house. And, I mean, we went through the whole polishing the silver, and my sisters and I served, and we cleaned up. And, you know, of course, I was the child that wanted all the themed birthday parties, and my mother would do it and, you know, would dream up all the stuff like that. So I would have to say definitely came straight from straight line.
Mine was my mother, too. I was the last of five children and the only girl. So my mom and I were able to have a little bit of fun, not to the joy of our brothers, but we had a little bit of fun creating and entertaining and just enjoying the creative piece of entertaining. So I would say my mom, for sure.
Well, I was going to answer this question a little differently. Where did we get our gift of entertaining or hospitality? And I think for a lot of us ladies, and you probably are included in this, it's somewhat in our wiring. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, it's in the way we were raised. So it can be one of those or both of those. I was not raised in the South. I could listen to Martha all day long talk about all those things. I got here as fast as I could. I think the little saying goes, I've been here almost 20 years. But I was actually raised in Ohio up north, and believe it or not, people are hospitable up there as well. I know you might find that shocking, Beverly Ficken, right? Right? No way. No, but they really are. And we did not grow up wealthy. We grew up in a very, very small home. I was one of four children. And my mother and my grandmother both were excellent entertainers and hostesses. I can remember my mom, one thing in particular that just stands out, she had what she called her sewing club. Now, I'm not saying they did any sewing. I'm just saying it was sort of an excuse to have women over, and they brought their sewing, and they didn't sew. I never saw sewing done, ever, my whole life. She sewed me nothing, ever. But she did host sewing club at our home, and every time she hosted a sewing club, she would make a homemade cheesecake. And to me, as a little girl, eating the crumbs of that homemade cheesecake with the sour cream on it and the whole nine yards, it was like the most sophisticated, elegant evening of my life as a child. And I would sit in the kitchen and just eat the remnant of that cheesecake. And y'all, today, to this day, I cannot eat cheesecake and not think of my mother and entertaining her sewing club that didn't sew. And then the other story I was going to share with y'all is my grandmother would be very quick. She was our church organist and pianist, and she would invite people home from church all the time for Sunday lunch, which we just don't do today any longer, right? Because we're just worried about, like, I have nothing at home, and my house is messy, and my children have a soccer game, and we just don't live that way. But my grandmother always did, and I especially remember one time my mom and she both together kind of worked on this. We had a touring singing group from Concordia Bible College come in to stay the night with us. And I was a little girl, and I just remember the hoopla that went into hosting this group of college kids that were going to come and sing at our church and really came to probably raise money for their missions trip. And they were going to spend the night, and they were going to eat breakfast. And, I mean, I had never seen orange juice poured in little crystal glasses. I didn't even know we had crystal glasses, you know? And then there they set out for this group of touring, singing college kids. All the, you know, the table was beautifully done, and there was just so much excitement about it. And I really almost connect it even to my faith, because this group of singers and college kids, they sang the song, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." Do you know what I'm talking about from, like, a long, long time ago? Some of you are looking blank. But it had nothing to do with being ready to entertain. It was really about, I wish we'd all been ready to when Jesus returns to go to heaven. And there was just something about hearing that song and something about seeing all of that preparation for this grand event of hosting this group of college kids that was pivotal. I can just say it was a pivotal time in my childhood leading up to, I kind of want to do that. I want to host people in our home, whether they're coming to eat breakfast or dinner or have a birthday party or spend the night. It struck a chord.
Yeah.
So my version of getting ready for the college kids, my older two, well, and Lizzie has done it too, but we've had about 30 college kids come at once. And at one point, the boys were in the basement for, like, if they're playing in when the SEC basketball tournament used to be here, or if one of the teams in a bowl game that was here. And so at one point, boys were in the basement, and at that point, they do bring their own pillow and blanket, towel. And girls upstairs. And so one morning, I would feed them breakfast, and they would go do their thing, you know. But the boys kept coming up, and y'all, I had not even seen any of them, half of them. I was like, oh, hey, you know, didn't even know them. But it's been a very fun thing. They all want to come to Atlanta, you know, and it's like, yeah, come on, you know.
And just to piggyback on Martha's comment, I have this little sign here. Can you hold that up, Melissa, or just hand it to me? I have this in my kitchen. If you feed them, they will come. And I just love just kind of what Martha's saying about wanting the college kids. We always wanted the kids in the neighborhood to come play in our home, and now that I have two in college, I just feel like this is so important. You know, just feed them. Do whatever it is you can to get those kids under your roof. I'm seeing a lot of you shaking your heads. And if you don't feel that way right now as a young mom, because you're like, just get outside, please. Go to the neighbor's house anywhere. I mean, I felt that way too for a long, 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 long time. But this is kind of the new approach as your kids are gone, the new era, as you do see them really. We're kind of stuck in all errors with five kids, but this is definitely my new heartbeat.
That's awesome. That's great. And this question is more directed towards Susan, but we thought it would be good to address what the difference is between hospitality and entertaining, because there is a difference. So.
Okay. You want to put up that first slide then? And I think we kind of discussed this earlier. Is just the second one, I'm sorry. How I want to talk about this a little bit. We talked about what the difference is between hospitality and entertaining, the focus of, is it focused on you or is it focused on others? And the way to focus on others, to me, is to let yourself be calm and at peace and find what works for you. I have a friend who, what works for her is sweeping the floor 2 minutes before guests arrive. That works for her. It really, really does. For me, I can set my table 6 weeks in advance and put a towel over it and be happy as a lark doing it. And the one thing that I want to say about that is she's not wrong that she sweeps her floor right before guests arrive. It's just different. If you'll go to the next slide, if you hear nothing else from me tonight, I want you to hear that different is not wrong. It's just different. And so when you find out what works for you, just embrace that and enjoy it and be yourself. That's going to be the best way that you can invite people into your home and be calm and relaxed. I had a friend, Lee Epting. I don't know, who of you went to the University of Georgia? Who of you know who Lee Epting is? You want to tell us about him? Lee Epting's a pretty well-known caterer, and I had the opportunity to sit under him early, listen to him speak. And he said, if you're worried about the cobwebs in your house, the guests will be worried about it too. They're not looking really, I mean, the guests won't be worried about it at all. They're not looking at the cobwebs. They're just looking at you and how you are reacting to them. And so if you're nervous and upset, they'll be nervous and upset. So are nervous and not at feel at home. So that's one thing. Let's see, what's the next slide? Do you want me to go on?
Yeah. Yeah, about planning logistics.
Do you want me to go on with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. We had a little bit of a change tonight, so I'm just...
Or do we can do table talk first?
You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do table talk first.
So we're going to take another couple minutes at your table. You heard some really good hospitality fails shared up here. So if you have any funny stories that you can share with the women at your table about a time where maybe you have not done something perfectly and it's ended up being laughable. So just share a funny hospitality story.
So we're going to wrap up that conversation. And Susan is going to go ahead and just share with us a little bit about logistics and planning. Yep. Tell me if you need this.
Okay. A lot of times when I direct a wedding, I hear the bride and groom say to me, oh, I just don't want it to be a performance. I don't want it to be a performance. I get it. I don't want it to be a performance either. But my challenge to them is, would you ever run a marathon without training? No. Would you ever do a 10-hour trip without gas in your car? No. You plan. It's not performance. It's planning. I guarantee Randy Pope does not get up on Sunday morning and say, I just really don't want to perform today, so I didn't really plan what I'm going to talk to you about. It's planning, ladies. It's okay. It's okay. So set yourself free from that. Some examples of, let me go to the next slide there. The best approach to planning is Stephen Covey says, have the end in mind. And that's basically, if you know Christmas is on December 25th, it's always on December 25th. Move backwards. Just know it's not going to change because you're going crazy. Okay? So just start with the end in mind. Same with a dinner party. Same with any kind of party. Just start with the end in mind. Know where you're going to end up and work backwards from there. Okay? It's very, very simple. Okay, go to the next one. This is what Thanksgiving planning looks like for me. That's pretty much how my recipes are. For over 20 years, I have hoped that someone would type them up for me. I don't know anybody in my family that's a graphic designer or communications specialist, but you know, if I did happen to have one, it'd be really nice to get my recipes typed. This is how my office looks pretty much before Thanksgiving. I'm going to use Thanksgiving as an example here. Okay, go to the next one. I just recently, this weekend, as a matter of fact, Tiffany Alley's here tonight. We just did a women's president's organization at Lake Oconee, which was great fun. And I had to shop for 30 women and make how many meals?
Four meals and two snacks.
And a happy hour. Okay. So we had a good bit of shopping and a good bit of things to get ready for. I wanted to show you this. How many of you use Excel at all? Okay, it's your friend, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, excuse me. There are probably apps and better ways to do this. Amanda, I'm sure you can tell us of an app that's there. Basically, if you organize your shopping list by the item, if you'll notice in the first item, the section of the grocery store, the date that it needs to be purchased. In other words, there may be some things that you purchase for your Thanksgiving meal that could be purchased tomorrow or could have been purchased 3 weeks ago. Put that on there and the store that you're going to buy it in. Then you can sort that list in any different ways that you want to, and voila, you've got your Thanksgiving shopping done. Okay, if you'll notice on the right-hand side, I have divided the grocery store. Probably if you go to the same grocery store, you know what the aisles are. I know Publix has a shopping list divided by the aisles. You can make your shopping list that way. You probably know them in your head by now, but that's just kind of a code that I use. Does that work? Mm-hmm. Then when you're planning your meals, if you'll notice on the first example here, I have my cooking times, and these are totally made up. I have no idea if those are the right temperatures or anything. But in the first example, you'll notice that one item there ended at 1:15 instead of 1 o'clock. So that was going to push me late on getting my dinner on the table at the right time. In the bottom example, though, you'll see my start time, my end times are all 1:15. Very same principle, starting with the end in mind. Do y'all have any questions so far? Very, very simple, but still.
So you start that, like, you want everything to be done, you do the right column first, and then mm-hmm. go backwards at, like, one.
Go backwards.
That's mm-hmm. good.
Yep, starting again. Yeah, exactly, with the end in mind. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Yeah.
Pan that to you. The next slide. This is just sort of some concluding thoughts about what I thought about hospitality. Hospitality versus entertaining is where you're focused. Have an eye for others, pushing all to see the love of Christ and how he made us. You're not identified by your turkey. You're identified by who you are in him. So I just want you to just continue to, as people come into your home and you might feel judged or insecure, don't. Just don't. The next slide, you are his, and recognizing your value in God sets us free from the chains of human expectations and earthly demands. And again, that would be my huge takeaway for you tonight, is to just remember that you are in Christ, and human expectations and earthly demands are just that. They're just human expectations. They're not an expectation of your Creator. So I'm not sure, just to interject here, Mary Sutherland, this is a quote from her, I don't know much about her theology or where she is, so I'm not recommending that you start studying words from Mary Sutherland. The last thing I want to talk about is my fake outs, but I am going to
save that
for just okay. a few seconds.
Great. Well, before we move on to a time where all these ladies are going to share some very practical take-home tips, Martha is going to talk to us about Pinterest, which we all probably agree can be our best friend and our worst enemy.
Are the wedding planner's best friend or enemy?
Yes.
Pinterest and Instagram, and it is my best friend, because if I can get a bride or a whoever I'm doing the party for to give me just a general idea of things she's thinking, or I can give her a general idea of stuff. But you know, you have to be so careful to say, now I'm not copying this exactly, you know, it's not going to be, and you want this for that amount, but that's flowers that are in season in July and your wedding's in December, or, you know, or this helps with things like that. But the pressure with Pinterest and Instagram is, I think it's huge. I don't know if y'all have felt it, where maybe you don't have a business that where you're doing showing pictures, but you're showing your family, you're just your everyday life, and you've got to be really fun and cool and do all these great things and take these creative pictures. And it's hard. It's very hard for me because that's how I advertise. I don't pay any other advertising, but it's what shows up on Instagram and Facebook and then what I put on my website, which is a great thing because it's free. But so it's a real hard thing not to constantly be looking and comparing yourself to whether it's another wedding planner or floral designer or another mom. And I really think all of us just need to be, we just need to declare right now that we're freed from that. We're just not going to do that. And it is, if you know, what is the saying? Comparison to others is the thief of joy. I mean, it really is. And I'm preaching to the choir because I'm looking at other floral designers, you know, all the time. And I'm, what is that flower? You know, whatever. But my niece, she does the best to me. And I texted her this morning. I said, Sarah, I'm talking to this group. And I'm talking about Instagram and Pinterest and all this stuff, you know. And she is constantly posting pictures, but she's constantly telling what happened either right before that picture or right after, or she's showing the disaster of the three boys under five that she has, and with a sense of humor. And I think that's when you really can enjoy these things and you can enjoy life, is when you get a sense of humor, you know. And I think you have to know really who you are and your strengths and weaknesses. And then you realize you are not going to do it like that, and you never will, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And I have a good friend that when our children were little, she would tell them, she said, you come to your mother for costumes, refreshments, and transportation. And you go to your father for math, science, mm-hmm. and whatever. You know, and so we would always laugh. We would go, okay, we're costumes, refreshments, and transportation. You know. Didn't bother us. They went to their dads for math or whatever, you know.
Is that from Mississippi?
Yes.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's the main thing I want to tell you is if you can figure out who you are, and first of all, you are a child of God, you know, that's your really ultimate identity. And it's not, because anything can be taken away in a minute. And, you know, I could be the greatest whatever and, I, you know, it could be taken away in a second. If you were depending on that for everything, and if you're depending on showing it to everyone, if that's your whatever behind having everything on Instagram and Pinterest, then it's probably not a good thing for you, you know. But all of that to say, if you do, if you have young children and you do post a lot, I will tell you a great thing for grandmothers that Sarah does. It's called chat books. Mm-hmm. And you sign up, and they take so many pictures. They just take it in chronological order, and they send it to you. And, like, Joy, the grandmother, gets one every 60 Instagrams, and it's basically the baby book. Mm-hmm. And it dates it mm-hmm. and everything. So those are really great. And once again, it's a situation of the heart. So when you're looking at Pinterest, now that was really kind of Instagram, but Pinterest, you know, who was it? You said somebody, which one were we talking about? How did we ever plan anything before we had Pinterest? You know, and you dreamed it up. And I think we all bought magazines for ideas and, you know, like that. But, yeah, this book, I know that Jody's going to talk about it, but this book changed my life. When this came out, I devoured every page. Now, she wasn't the fanatic that she is now or had become where she's stenciling her driveway.
Or criminal.
You know, or criminal. Yeah. But it was more, you can do this with the linens you have in your house and you can go pick flowers in your yard and do it. And it was just, I think it was the beginning of the DIY, basically. So, anyway, there's good and bad to say about that. But anyway, if you will do my balloon slide, I do have slides. Y'all haven't seen any of my slides yet. I'm going to stand up. Okay, so when I'm working with someone for a party, I don't want you to show me exactly a picture of exactly how you want it. I want you to look at a picture and tell me what you see in there, What do you see? Somebody just... Color. Do you see a certain color that speaks to you or a combination? May not be your color scheme, but this is fun. Now, we may never put that many balloons on the front of a building, but that says party fun, you know. And colors and combinations. So go, you can do another one. This is more of a centerpiece. So what is it you like about that? If you brought that picture to me, what are certain things? Don't tell me you just like it. Tell me why. The certain flowers or the colors or...
Purple.
You like the candles. You realize you really like tall taper candles on a table. The brass candlesticks. It's mixed. It's hard to see, but it's mixed with, you know, sterling silver. If you've got nice things, if you could go to the one that has the napkin rings. Now I'm really getting cheesy. Okay, there. I love to mix fancy things with not fancy things. I kind of call it the high-low. And high-low. So I have this. I've been collecting these napkin rings that already have my kids and family's names on them, but we put them with pottery and wicker. You know, don't just try to go, oh, I'm going to be dressy, and oh, I'm going to be, you know, get free and mix it up. You know, have fun with it. Okay, you can go back. I'm so sorry. So once again, here's another one. I should have gotten one that had different candles. But what about those flowers? Do you like the style of the flowers, that they're looser? Do you like that color combination? What? The flyer. Yeah, the little surprise. So that's the kind of thing. Do you like those votives? Do you want to use votives? That kind of thing is what I'm talking to brides or to whoever. A lot. I didn't put a bouquet up there, but that's a big one because they either want the bowling ball or they want, you know, looser and freer. Some want big. Some want smaller. Some want lots of greenery. But you kind of can look at a bunch of pictures, but don't just look at them and say, do this. Really figure out what it is you like about it. And so my mother taught me this, and she would help with decorating, and she'd say, look at a picture in a magazine to figure out what it is you like about it, because you're probably not going to recreate that room exactly, you know. But you may love the paint color, you may love the rug or the pillow or whatever it is, but you can break it down to where it's you, what you like. And so that's kind of the same thing with doing flowers. This is just a fall, kind of out of your yard. If you have the dried lime lights like I do. But it's just a fun go out and so I'm really big on foraging also. I'm kind of jumping all over the place. But that I would say I never order greenery with a wedding, usually, unless they tell me a very specific greenery they want. And I'm out foraging, and I love to know what trees are in. In fact, I've asked neighbors, friends, if I can come cut in their yard all the time. And my children, my girls do this with me. We have been known to pull up to the crepe myrtle tree at CVS and slow down and roll down the window. And also the entrance to our neighborhood, we were out one night in dark, and we were under the tree getting things, you know. And we don't do it bad. We don't make it look like somebody's cut it. We're just like nature trimming it off, you know. So, yeah, it's bad when you live in the suburbs. You got to get out, you know. But I can't find places to go. But it's really bad, too, because you drive around constantly going, ooh, that tree. There's really good trees turning right now by Trader Joe's. And you know, so, and I said I'm going to cover my license plate because I know all these stores have cameras, you know. But anyway, I guess this will kind of lead, let me make sure I'm telling you everything I wanted to say. Let's see. I know, it's kind of all mixed in. But I guess that's my take on Pinterest and Instagram. And I think the more you figure out who you are in Christ and who your family is, and I get to keep up with my nieces and nephews and grandnieces and nephews better than I kept up with when they were all babies, you know. So it's a great thing, but it's just don't feel like you have to be this perfect and don't always show just the perfect. It's really boring, mm-hmm. honestly. I know, it's really boring that you don't show, because you know nobody is perfect, okay? You know there is stuff going on, okay? I mean, that's not perfect. But, so that's, and that's how you can kind of use Pinterest. That's what, is kind of how I use it with
awesome.
Everything.
Great.
I don't know why I had to stand up.
That's good.
Did we show all the slides? Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
So we've got 10, 15 minutes left, and okay. now I think they're going to divide the time and give some very practical okay. takeaway tips. Do you want to start?
Yeah, okay. So I just love everything Martha was just saying. I'm a woman who drives around. I kid you not, if you go in my console between my seats, you will find shears or clippers mm-hmm. because... And boots are good. I love boots. I'm definitely one who will drive and thinks nothing of it. I mean, I will try to ask. I will leave a note in the mailbox. No, I have done that because for instance, I was planning the Promise. I've been doing the centerpieces for our Promise concerts the last few years, and we're raising money for adoption and foster care. So every dollar counts. So trying to do that on a budget. And I was driving out of my neighborhood day after day passing this lady's house who had these beautiful limelight hydrangea drying that were just perfect and you know, plenty of them to spare. And I didn't know her name. I didn't know her phone number. Knew nothing about her, but I left her a note in her mailbox. And I said, listen, you know, we're throwing this event. It's a charity. It's to raise money for kids. Would you mind if I trimmed a few? And... You know, it ended up being the beginning of a relationship. She now is a friend. She started to follow me on Facebook and found out about the event and about the adoption and the fostering and all of this. And every year she'll say to me, do you need my hydrangea? And it's a really cool communion, you know, when you just ask. And that would be one of my top 10 look-tos or hints is don't be afraid to ask. Whenever I work on any kind of event, I have a kind of a resource list of people that own things that I know who to turn to and ask for just borrowing, and it creates fellowship. I have a few go-to girls. I mean, Gail, are you here? Gail, a month ago, I called Gail looking for the little table numbers. We needed six more. I had the right style, everything, but I needed six more, and to order those would be $30-$35 for our Promise concert. So I start calling around, you know, women's ministry, wherever. Couldn't find them anywhere. Was just about ready to go purchase them, and my daughter asked me to meet her for lunch at the patio across the street. And so I'm literally making my list at the patio waiting for our lunch to arrive when I look up, and what is right in front of me? The table number that they put on the patio with the exact same style, the exact one that I was ready to order. And so I just traipsed right up to the front of the store and asked them, can we borrow six of these for our event this weekend? I'll pick them up Saturday, return them on Sunday. And she was more than happy to allow us to do that. So one of my, number one tips is don't be afraid, don't hesitate to ask others. And also, to take inventory of what you already own in your own home. A lot of times we buy things for a party or an event, and then we toss them in the basement, and we forget that we even owned that kind of correct platter or that thing. But if you keep all of your items together, like in my basement storage, I have one corner designated for design and decor and all my crafting area, and then another corner for all my entertaining essentials. I keep everything in one place, so that when I am ready to do something, I know what I have. I know what my inventory is. And I think that's just a kind of a practical thing. The next slide there, Emily. So these are the centerpieces I've done the last 3 years for our Promise concert. And what I wanted to say about those, I guess, is everything there was basically free. Borrowed, begged, stolen, whatever. The box right there up in the corner was our first year. I'm kind of excited about these because here we are doing an event about reclaiming lives, adopting children, and fostering children. And we found these, my girlfriend Karen and I, down at Scott's. You know, if you go to places that are kind of not your Pottery Barn, not your Target, right? And we ended up in their salvage department finding 32 of these. I needed 31, so we had one extra one at a pretty reasonable cost. And then these boxes, not only used for our centerpieces, the way we kind of had them with candles and moss and white pumpkins, though that was a little bit dangerous because we, you know, flames and moss don't always mix. But they've been used for 3 or 4 events since then, which I just think is kind of cool, too. If we can, again, that idea of sharing things. Okay, next slide. And I kind of went with the same thing Martha was talking about, mixing and matching, using your pottery with your grandmother's fine china and a little bit of wicker and a sprig of rosemary out of your yard. You know, just simple, easy things that we don't have to stick to the same rules as our grandmothers and mothers did, where everything had to be formal or traditional or informal. It can be a mix and match. Okay, next one. And then I love the idea that if you look at form and structure, there's no excuse. In today's world, everything can be painted. If you see something that you love the container shape, or you love this frame, or you love this piece of furniture, whatever it is, look at this. This is just out of my little decor area. There is, like, you can do terracotta, we can do looking glass, you can do chalkboard. The finishes, the sky's the limit. I liken this to women that go, or women and men, people that go into homes and they're like, I love this house, I love the bones, I love how it sits on the property, I love everything about it, but I can't buy it because the paint color is wrong. Do you know what I mean? Paint can be changed, ladies. The color of anything can be changed. I was going to show you real quickly, one of my favorite tricks, too, is this looking glass spray. If you love mercury glass, you can make your own mercury glass with just a little bit of that spray, and there's a little procedure you can look online on Pinterest, and they'll tell you. But then yesterday I was in Target, and in the dollar section, if you look around, this cute little mercury glass thing, $3 in Target. You can't beat that. If you look in their little, you know where I'm talking about when you walk in? That was $3, and so was this. So you can make your own mercury glass. You can be creative or a DIY person, or just find the deals, you know. And that's another encouragement I want to give you, is look in the out-of-the-way places. Don't be afraid to go into Goodwill or garage sales or flea markets. There's so many things that can be transformed, and it's kind of exciting that way, right? I want to just encourage you that beautiful isn't necessarily expensive, and expensive isn't necessarily beautiful. It's really, really key. Okay, another one. This is my favorite paint, if anyone wants to write that down, if you have a light fixture that needs to be painted, perhaps. I love this Rust-Oleum. It's the oil-rubbed bronze. Maybe you don't want to spend $3,000 updating all of your fixtures in your home if you have that lovely brass. But this stuff, my chandelier, my foyer light fixture, which is way up high. Nobody can really tell. You know, they're not scraping their finger along it. But I had an electrician lower it for me. I painted it from brass to this oil-rubbed bronze and had him raise it back up. And, you know, there you go. New light fixture. And that costs like $30. Okay? Another slide. Those are just some things on my mantle in my kitchen that I've repainted. That was white. And that pot was kind of what color? It was kind of a yellowy cream. All right, paint, easy. I also am a big fan of jars, apparently. I love jars that are pretty, that you can put food in, that you can use functionally. I was going to show you. This is one of my favorite jars. And you can buy this at Target. And jars that you can keep dog treats in, granola bars. I keep my laundry soap in this big old jar. I don't like, you know, I don't go from like the granola bars to the laundry soap, but just the idea that jars have so many functions. Okay, is there another slide there? Oh, okay, and then to the foraging aspect that Martha mentioned, you know, again, like I said, I'm a woman who keeps a pair of clippers in her car at all times, not necessarily safe with children, but I put the safety on them. things that we pull out of our yard can be beautiful. These sticks, you know, right there, just easy and cheap and free. And so I would just encourage you, get out in your yard. I pulled this out of my yard yesterday, every single thing in here, just in the backyard. And at this time of year, girls, we live in the South. I spent 2 years in Minnesota, and there's not a whole lot you can pull out in November and December from your yards that are covered in 6 feet of snow. But in Georgia, there's always something that can come out of your yard or, like Martha said, your neighbor's yard. So these are some of the pots. We can go to the... I did pull that stuff out of the yard in Minnesota. The snow makes it kind of pretty, too. And then as far as, like, just including things, I do the same thing what Martha's talking about, not buying greenery. When I decorate at Christmas, I might use the wired greenery you can pick up at Michael's, but then everything else I add in fresh. I just trim down the evergreen or the old hydrangea that are drying, whatever. So I guess really what I would encourage you to do is be bold, be brave, just try it, see what you think. It's, you know, especially if you're taking it free from your yard or your friend's yard, then there's no loss, right? There's no harm done, even if it's not exactly what you want. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Okay, and then my last thing is just traditions, which can be free. If you're a mom and you have young kids, now's the time to start. I am blown away as my children get older. We, like I said, two in college. They talk all the time about how important traditions are to them. And they, again, they don't have to be something that you spend a lot of money on. I mean, our favorite traditions are the things that are very, very much free. I mean, one of our traditions is all of the children sleep together on Christmas Eve in the same room. And they each take turns year after year hosting each other. I love the hospitality of that for my kids and what it teaches them. It costs nothing. Another tradition is we make gingerbread houses as a family every Christmas Eve. From the time they were little bitty, I hope we always do this. Even when they bring home their husbands and their children, I hope my family continues. I think we probably will because we love it so much. I buy these at Michael's, 40% off. Do you guys do this too?
Well, we had a little bit different experience with gingerbread houses. When you have adult children, it looks a little different. We blew ours up with firecrackers last year. So it's a little, our traditions are a little more violent, I think. But that's okay.
And I would like, we have great traditions, and I think it's wonderful, but don't go wild on the first child and have these large traditions that you're going to have to do 20 years later.
Right.
Yeah. When you've got a lot of children. That is my one advice to... You know, because you get a little crazy with that first one, and so.
Okay, I love that, and so true. And we've not blown them up, but we've.
It's great fun.
I'm sure that's in our future. I have boys who blow things up all the time. One of my favorite traditions that I wanted to share with you guys real quickly is there it goes. Okay, you all awake? Thanksgiving for our centerpiece, for our place setting, for many, many years, I've always given anybody at my Thanksgiving table a Christmas ornament just to kind of lead into the holiday season. So if you want to, just an idea that I thought I would share with you, this is literally these cheapy bulbs that I have taken a little verse of scripture about being prepared or preparing ourselves. If you prepare your heart, you will stretch out your hands toward him. That's from Job 11. And I Mod Podged that little piece of verse on to this, and I set it at their place setting, and it's just been our little lead-in from Thanksgiving into the Christmas season. Just an idea. Just thought I'd share that. And then what else? What else do we have to cover? I have a lot of stuff, so we're not going to get to all of it. But just, thankful trees. Keep going. We'll just skip through. That's another tradition, and they can look like very homemade or a little bit more fun, a little more elegant. Anything else back there, Emily? I think, am I done with those slides? Okay. I think one last thing we were going to talk about is just versatile elements that you can use and get a lot of bang a lot of bang for your dollar. Using herbs is a great way to garden in the summer, bring them in the winter, trim them for cooking, trim them for a package, for your place setting. Lots of opportunity there. And burlap would be another great, versatile item that can be used in so many different ways with decorating, entertaining. And do you all know the trick to cutting burlap straight? Does everybody? Lorianne, yes. So what you do, I'm just going to real quickly, you take your burlap, and if you want to cut a straight line on it, if we hold it up this way, you find a little thread, and you pull it gently out, and you're left with a complete space, a little blank space that gives you a very clean cut. So that is like just one of our little helpful hints. Okay, and then I'm done.
I'm going to be fast because I know we're at the time. And my tip was just to show you how you can use a vase, really, and I'll just kind of explain it. I won't even show you. But if you buy the, if you go to Amazon, and Hobby Lobby, I think, has this. And make sure it's the waterproof tape, okay? And you just take it and you put it, and you put it all the way around. And I do it really close, and you have a grid, and then you put flowers in it. And it's like better than an oasis, better. I mean, I use chicken wire mainly with my arrangements, but this is tape. So you just put it all the way around, and do not do it anytime near water. Make sure it's on really tight before you add water, and then you can make any kind of arrangement with anything you have. And then some other good things. I don't know if y'all love command strips like I do. They are awesome for hanging anything, garland, things in your house, because they come right off the wall without damaging anything. So I go to events, and they're like, you can't put anything on the wall. I go, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And another little trick for everybody seems to love the garlands, but if you want to put a fresh flower, you probably are familiar with water picks, but you put water in, and then you can stick one flower, then you can stick it in your wreath. It'll last better, longer than 2 hours, or a garland. But you can get these at Hobby Lobby. Or Amazon's great. But and water won't spill, and they'll last a long time. So that's just glue dots. You won't believe how you can place something with a glue dot. It's wonderful. Double stick tape, a lot of little tricks there. So anyway, that was my main thing, is just to show you how to make this. Well, you can make like a professional looking, but y'all did pretty good without tape, I will have to say. You didn't really need it, so anyway, okay. Cool. Thanks.
We realized when we were planning for this, we probably could throw a retreat worth of all this information. So stay tuned. There's so much.
The last little thing that we thought we would share with you are our great fake outs to just show you that we are not perfect entertainers. We are not perfect people. We're imperfect people. And we really don't like perfect people. But that's okay. They're very annoying. A couple of my fake outs are, number one is my friends. Believe it or not, I have many, many friends who we've entered into the shower stage of life. So we've had many wedding showers, many baby showers. So a friend of mine has the exact same brunch dishes that I do, and we just trade back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Another friend of mine, different friend, has a decanter. We bought them separately and together, and we just trade back and forth, back and forth. So it's a great way to just kind of keep community and keep the relationships going. Some of these people, the only time I see them is when they want to borrow a three-tiered thing or something like that, or to trade. My other fake out is my family. My husband and my family actually have all been very supportive of just entertaining and having people in our home. So Ed especially, I have to give him a hand because he kind of knows instinctively, okay, the chairs have to come up from the basement on Thursday for him. So those kinds of things. But I would caution you, if your husband doesn't love that, don't force it. The other fake out for me is resources. Again, Tiffany, I'm going to use you as an example. This weekend, I served a chicken salad. Everybody wanted the recipe, and the recipe is drive south on 141 to Ingles and get the rotisserie chicken salad. Very simple. Know the resources. Today, I was in patio, and I'm having children, which I usually don't have at Thanksgiving. They had adorable Rice Krispie turkeys. Yeah, it's worth the $9. They were all getting one. So know your resources. I don't have time to make pumpkin turkeys or pumpkin Rice Krispie treats this year. So know what your resources are and ask your friends what. Don't be afraid to purchase pre-made. And then my last fake out, I have actually brought one for each of you. It is a laundry basket. Stash and dash. When you are having a party and you haven't had time, thank you, to clean off your, I don't know, maybe desk, for example, at my house, right here, take it to your upstairs office, take it to your master bedroom, lock the door, and you're done. So feel free to grab one on the way out. Thank you.
I was just going to say, when you buy that casserole or that dish, put it in your dish.
One other thing on having, I did, that's not my Wheaton Terrier, but that would be what she would have done. Each year at Christmas time, I know we've focused a lot on Thanksgiving, but we have a closet in our basement where all of our, I'm a little embarrassed to show you this, but I'm going to show it to you anyway. I got it. At the end of Christmas each year, I just write down the things that I know that are either broken or that I'd like to do for the next year. And so when I go to open the closet for getting out my Christmas decorations, I have this list already there. And that's just something, just a little, again, another fake out. But I would encourage you, you'll learn through the years if you decorate for Christmas, or if you have Christmas parties, especially the first weekends in December. Like, I typically have 3 parties the first weekend of December in my home. And you learn that you really need to get all those things before Thanksgiving. If you wait till after Thanksgiving for your Christmas decorations, no pressure, but they're gone. So that's all.
Yes, and Jody, did you want to share the story of someone in the church? We have one anecdotal story.
Okay, really, really fast, because I know we're at pushing time. But my friend Karen just did this last week, and I caught wind of it. And when you're talking about hospitality and being intentional and missional, really, you know, how Jesus demonstrated hospitality to us, she did this last Sunday. She lives in Peachtree Corners. I don't know if you know Karen Henderson. She's a member here at Perimeter and Perimeter School. She works at the school. But she's been just reaching out to her neighbors, you know, in the past year or so, and decided to host in her home this past Sunday evening what she called a grateful gathering. And what she did was invite, I actually do have it, okay. She invited, like, handmade these invitations, and her entire street and the street kind of at the T, she put an invitation in every woman's mailbox. Which she handmade, and she invited all the ladies in her neighborhood to a gratitude gathering in her home. And then everything she did that evening, as these women, some that she knew, some that she didn't know, came in, you know, she had the place settings, and she had table questions and a little gratitude journal for these women. But these are women from all walks of life, all seasons, all generations, all religious backgrounds, no religious background. and she gathered them together. And I thought that when I heard that story, and I know her heart, she's a wonderful decorator and entertainer, but she did this not really to give herself glory or accolade at all, but really to just reach out to the people in her neighborhood in Peachtree Corners. And as we were talking today and tonight about all of these things, you know, do it yourself this and do that and create this, you know, just keep in mind what our message is, ladies, is to be missional and to reach others and to love them through things like this. So if you can even be inspired just a tiny bit to how can you love others better through, it can be entertaining, but it's always through invitation. However you see that, that works in your life and your lifestyle. That was
great. Well, we are so grateful that you came tonight, and hopefully you're leaving inspired. And again, hopefully you're leaving having met a new friend, and we really would love for you to come back and invite a friend the next time that you are with us. Thank you so much. Grab a snack on the way out and enjoy the fellowship. We'll see you in January.